How many of us have heard conversations about the voice of God or someone talking about hearing God or hearing someone discuss listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to the voice of God? How many of us have heard those things and thought some things like, I wish I heard the voice of God like that? Or maybe we've thought something along the lines of like, man, must be nice to hear God whenever we hear someone talking about that. Or we think, wow, that's amazing. I guess God just doesn't speak to me that way. Has anybody ever thought those types of things whenever we hear people talking about the voice of God, God speaking, different, I'm the only one? Okay, well, wow, good to feel lonely in here today. It make me feel better about it. Just raise your hand anyways. Everybody just raise your hand. Thank you. Yes, we all have wondered at times in our life about whenever we talk about hearing the voice of God, many of us are, you know, we've had those types of thoughts, like those confusing thoughts of what even is the voice of God? Are you talking about like, is the voice of God going to enter my earlobes and reverberate around in there? Like I'm going to be able to hear the actual audible voice of God? Or what's this still small voice stuff? Or what's this God spoke like thunder? Or what's that voice of many waters type of, what on God's green earth are we talking about whenever we talk about the voice of God? I think many of us can relate with those types of thoughts and those types of feelings. And when it comes to the voice of God, a lot of us sit on various ends of the spectrum, right? We've got people who say, you know, we might say, I've never heard the voice of God. I've heard people talk about it. I've heard people refer to things like, but I've never heard it. And then you've got people who are like, I think maybe I heard the voice of God, or maybe like I had a dream one time, but I also had really old pizza that night, and so I'm not really sure about that either. And then you've got other people who are like, yes, I've heard the voice of God, but only on these like major decisions in my life, like when I was going to marry someone or when I was going to move or when I was going to shift jobs or something like that. And so like, yeah, I've maybe heard the voice of God with some of those decisions. Then we got some people who are like, well, I've heard the voice of God, but only from like a pastor, or really anytime I want to hear the voice of God, I try and go get somebody to pray for me, have conversations with those people, and maybe I'll hear the voice of God that way. Then you got people who are like, I hear the voice of God every single day. He talks to me. He shares with me. He tells me things that are about to happen. He tells me why things happened in my past. We just have a really good relationship and friendship. And then you've got people way over here on this end of the spectrum where it's like, I don't brush my teeth unless the Lord God tells me to. Which I disagree with that, Tom. I mean, there's some things that are common sense. You don't need Jesus to tell you to brush your teeth. Some things you can just know to do. Bless God. But no matter where we sit on the spectrum, there's a couple of things that are absolutely true whenever we talk about the voice of God. Whether you're the person that hears him every single day, or you're the person that's super skeptical about whether or not God is still speaking, no matter where you're at on the spectrum, there are two things that are absolutely true about the voice of God. And number one, that first truth is that God spoke. In the past, God spoke. And then the second truth that we need to understand is that God is still speaking. So those are the two things that we're going to talk about today. God spoke and God is still speaking. Let's say that together. Say, God spoke. Say, God's still speaking. You know, I think we're about to start just a 4-week series of talking about the voice of God. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to discuss different things within that. But I think that these are the two most fundamental truths that we have to understand about the voice of God before we can get into other details. You know, God has spoken in many different ways. He has spoken through prophets. He speaks to your own spirit. He speaks through dreams and visions. And even sometimes, yes, God has spoken audibly to people. And there's all kinds of different modes and ways that we can hear the voice of God. There's all kinds of different things. But before we get into those things, we have to nail down these two truths in our thinking and in our doctrine so that we can think rightly about the multiple ways that God does speak to us. You know, we're going to mainly touch on three different ones. Next week, Pastor is going to talk about God speaking to us through the Word, which is his primary way of speaking. And then the following 2 weeks, I'll be talking about how he speaks to us in prayer and also how he'll speak to us through meditation. Another thing that we don't really talk about in the Western church very often, but we're going to dive into those three things. But to understand, to really grasp those things, we've got to really understand that God spoke and God is still speaking. So let's dive into that first truth this morning. God, the voice of God spoke, and that's in Genesis 1, 1 through 3. Hey now, let's do it one more time. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. Did that because I haven't preached in a while and I just wanted to hear it twice. So it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So this word that we have in English, the word said, comes from the Hebrew word amar, which basically means, it refers to the simple act of communicating with the spoken word. So one of the first ways that God chooses to reveal himself to man is as communicative. One of the very first things that we realize about God is that he speaks. Now, this is a really important thing for us to realize as we're dissecting the Word of God, because the way someone does something says a lot about who they are. You know, we've got a number of staff members here at Covenant Love, and if I were to walk in tomorrow morning with a task that I needed to be done, and I said to one person, do it, another person, do it, and that, like, if I chose three people to accomplish that task, I guarantee you that those three people would do it three different ways according to their personality. And so it's important to realize this whenever we're dissecting something like God creating the world in the first instance where we see God operating, because he could have done it any number of ways. He's God. God could have willed the earth into existence. God could have thought the earth into existence. God could have breathed the world into existence. God could have waved his hand. God could have rung a bell. God could have done whatever he wanted to do, but it was important that we realize that God spoke the world into existence, because this is a very important part of who he is. God is communicative. God speaks. And so whenever we read the Bible, and whenever this is why it's important to take our time in reading the Bible, because then we can see these types of things, and little red flags should be going off in our minds and in our hearts of like, oh, that's important, oh, that's important, oh, that's important. And so whenever it says that God spoke, it's not simply talking about the way God did something, it's revealing a truth about who he is. And from the moment we start in Genesis 1:1, we are realizing things about our Creator, about our God, about the lover of our soul. And this is one of those foundational, fundamental, most important things about who he is. God speaks. God spoke. You know, and he didn't just, his communication didn't stop at the creation of the world. God is found speaking directly to humankind over 2,000 times in the Old Testament alone. Multiple times where it's God said, he said, God said, God said, God said. Over 2,000 times we see this as a reality in the Word of God, that he speaks. And I think it's really important to understand that he didn't simply speak with an expectation that those listening would do so without responding. Whenever we see God speaking in the Bible, it's not like lecture form, right? It's not students sat down with their little tablets like chiseling out notes as he's talking to them. That was a little, nobody liked that joke? All right, cool. He's not just sitting there waiting for people to take notes and not respond back to him, right? God is speaking, and every time he speaks, you see man in communication with him. It says, God said, then Moses said. Or God said, then Jeremiah said. Or God said, then Isaiah said. God said, then David said. God said, then Malachi said. God said, then David said. God said, then Moses said. God said, then Abraham said. God said, then Isaac said. God said, then... Y'all catch my drift? It's this back and forth communication. It's not God, you rarely find God just stuck in the middle of a monologue where no one else can interject. God speaking is not always, there are times where God speaks kind of like in this format, but the majority of the time that God is speaking, it's not like he's just up on a pulpit with a microphone talking and no one talking back to him. We find God over and over and over and over again in the midst of conversation. And because I wanted to let you guys out on time today, because we've been like, what, running like 2.5 hours, 3 hours the last couple of Sundays, because I've wanted to let you guys out at a really good hour today, I did not go through as much as I wanted to and just find every instance of God in a conversation with someone. I found three, because I'm being brief today. I found three. But the teacher in me is like, I should have done a chart, right? So... So I want to share with you three scriptures that really review this truth that God, whenever he is speaking, he's not just speaking to, he's speaking with, okay? So let's look at Exodus 33, verse 11. This is the TLB. It says, inside the tent, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Your friend would not be a good friend if all you ever did was sit there and let him talk. Now, I know some of you are thinking like, I'm married to someone that way, but y'all just let... Oh, goodness. That was a bad one. There's going to be some rough dinners after this tonight. No, I'm joking. But this is not Moses going into the tent and simply listening to God. Moses goes into the tent and he talks with God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. This is back and forth. This is communication. This is God said, then Abraham said, or then Moses said, then God said, then Moses said, then God said, then Moses said. Communication, dialogue, two-way conversations. And not just some like strange, austere conversation that's like loopy and weird. As a man speaks to his friend. Not just coming before God and like, oh, Jesus, help! Conversation. As a man speaks to his friend. As a woman speaks to her friend. That's how God is found communicating in this scripture. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, ask me and I will tell you some remarkable secrets. 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 You know, whenever someone tells you a secret, you've got to lean in. You've got to be close. You've got to be right there with that person or you're not going to hear what they're saying. It's intimate, right? It's communion. It's relational. I don't go around the mall just walking up to people saying, hey, how's it going? That's weird. That's creepy. If you do that, don't go around whispering to people. You need to stop that. Don't do that if you're doing that. Quit it. It's you whisper to the people that you know, right? You whisper to the person that's close to you. You whisper to the person that you have relationship with. You whisper to the person that is your friend or your husband or your wife or it's this idea of deep, meaningful, beautiful relationship between God and his people. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you secrets. This is the way that God communicates. God communicates in relationship. God communicates with soft voices and loud voices, and there's this whole flow of the way that God communicates. Rounding it out with the third scripture in Psalm 138, verse 3a, it says, when I called, you answered me. When I called, this is David saying to God, when I call, you answer me. He responds. He doesn't sit there quietly letting you talk into the air. He responds. He answers. He doesn't leave you on read. My millennials in the room, or whatever generation, I don't know. He speaks, he responds. And this is so beautiful and so other than the way that so many people think about God and the way that he communicates. You know, some of us grew up in, not me, I grew up here, but some people grew up in really angry churches. And so the voice of God sounds angry all the time. Some people grew up in like dead religious churches, and so why would I want to talk to God? He seems like a super boring dude. Like, no. Right? We grew up in ways sometimes that make God out to be who he isn't actually. Because who he is this person. Who he is the being that will talk to you like a friend, that will whisper secrets to you, that will answer you when you call, that will talk back to you just like he did when he spoke in the past. This is who God is. He is communicative. Now, the desire to communicate with us was so deeply embedded in the heart of God that he literally sent his voice to us to live among us and become the very sacrifice of our sins. Y'all catch that? This is so ingrained. Communication, talking, the voice of God is so a part of his nature and his likeness that he literally sent his voice into the earth to put on human flesh, to live among us, to die for us, and to make it possible for us to communicate with him. In John 1:14, in the New Living Translation, it says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." This, the word translated word here is the Greek word logos, which means utterance, speaking intelligently, the living voice. The living voice. So if we were to reread that scripture, we could read it as the living voice became flesh and dwelt among us. The speaking voice of God became flesh and dwelt among us. It is the very essence of his nature to speak. It is the very essence of who he is to speak. Even whenever you look at the latter part of that scripture, whenever it says that we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, that the glory of God is revealed in his communication. The glory of God is revealed in his speaking. The wonder and majesty and awesomeness and power of God is revealed in the fact that he communicates with us, and not only that he communicates with us, that he sent his voice down to be the sacrifice for us to be able to communicate with him. Because of that, just as God is eternal and will never cease to exist, the voice of God is eternal and will never stop speaking. So truth number one was God spoke. And we see revealed to us the way that he spoke in that communication, that communion, that intimacy, that relationship, right? God spoke. And then truth number two, the voice of God will never stop speaking. Why is this such an important thing to talk about? Because right now, particularly in the Western church, there is an inundation of theology and doctrine that would have you believe that God no longer speaks. And it comes from some pretty smart people. If I can be completely honest with you, there are theologians that talk on this fact that there are loads of other things that I can get on board with and agree with the way that they think, and then I just got to kind of like, screw it, hold up. whenever they get on this topic because of how integral this truth is to who God is. You cannot separate God from his speaking voice. I'm going to show that a little bit more. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, y'all, because this is such a pivotal, paradigm-shifting message for us. In Matthew 24, verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words remain forever." Again, this Greek, the Greek word translated words here is logos, the speaking voice. We could literally read this scripture, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my speaking voice will remain forever." His speaking voice will remain forever. This truth is also confirmed by the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God shall stand forever." The speaking voice, the communication of God will stand forever. It cannot, it will not pass away. God will never be silent. He cannot. Silence is not his nature. Stillness is his nature. Don't confuse me. There are times where God can quiet himself, but it is completely against his nature to not be the Word. You separate the Word from God and you completely destroy what we stand on as far as our understanding of God. It is the absolute foundation of Christianity that God doesn't just have a voice, but he is the voice. You take away the voice of God, you take away everything we stand on. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me hold on. Even consider what the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 13:8. It says, "Jesus Christ, who is the Word?" John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," right? He was in the beginning with the Word, all that, right? John 1. So Jesus Christ, the Word, Hebrews 13:8 says, "He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The voice of God has been, is, and always will be speaking." The voice of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God, his utterances, his communication is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we say that God no longer speaks to us, we are in effect saying that Jesus is no longer a functioning member of the Godhead. You take away the voice of God, you take away an integral part of the Trinity. I'm trying not to sound angry. because there's dangerous theology out there that would try and tell you the opposite. Very dangerous theology. That sounds really good and sounds really foundational, but they literally take away the foundation of everything that they teach. You know, these people, they say, they're heavy believers in the Word of God, but they take away that aspect, and they don't realize that they're taking away the very nature of who God is. God spoke, and God speaks. And he'll never stop speaking. Why? Because it's who he is. It's not just his desire. It is who he is. In the same way that God is love, you take away love, then you take away the foundation of who God is. If you take away his voice, you take away a foundation of who he is. We cannot do away with, and we cannot afford for people to think that they aren't able to talk with God. I mean, now we can get specifically into like the South and the Bible Belt, right? Where just, "Hey, Pastor, put in a good word for me with the big man, you know. Just let him know. I'm still hanging out. I'm still tithing. Just let him know." I can say this, I'm Southern. So we've got to do away with that. That was one of the biggest problems with the people of Israel, was God's intention of taking them out of Egypt was for all of them to fellowship, but whenever the voice of God sounded like thunder, they became afraid and said, Moses, you go talk to him and you tell us what he said. But that was not God's intention. God's intention was never for Moses to be the only one that was communicating with him. God has always and will always desire a people, a people, a people, his people, his sons and daughters that hear the voice of the Father. What good would my relationship be with my Father if I couldn't communicate with him? He teaches me, he shares with me, he shows me different things. Why? Because he's my Father and he speaks to me. How could we possibly be considered the children of God and serve a Father that doesn't want to communicate with us? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't contexts for the way that he communicates with us. God speaks to us through the filter of the Word of God. I'm not talking about some loopy, crazy doctrine where you can just make up whatever you want and God said it because you had goosebumps when you heard it. I'm talking about that we would be a people that through the filter of the Word of God actually hear his voice, actually know his voice, are actually led by what he is saying. And this morning in prayer, I felt like the Lord said that whenever you teach people to hear the voice of God, you remove them from just knowing what God does and release them into knowing who God is. You cannot know who God is personally if all we ever do is hear about him but never communicate and experience him on our own. We cannot have theology devoid of experience. We cannot have theology devoid of actually encountering that theology. You can't say God is the Word and not hear his words. We can't do that. And so we have to destroy and dismantle specifically this idea that I'm the only one in this room that can hear God. I don't want to pastor a church where I'm the only one hearing God. That sounds like the most boring, controlling, terrible thing on planet Earth. I want every single person in this room hearing the voice of God for themselves, communing with God yourself so that you can be who he has called you to be in this earth, so that you can be a revelation of his unique expression in your being. Oh my goodness. If I was the only one hearing the voice of God and then mirroring that voice in the earth, there would only be one portion of the image of God being shown. The world will only see the whole image of God when we all capture the realization and the revelation that it is in all of us to hear him and be like him. That's what we're headed towards. That's what we are headed towards. That is what we are headed. I prophesy it right now. That's what we are headed towards. That's why, you understand, that's why Paul said, I wish that you all would prophesy. Do you understand the depth of that one scripture? I wish that you would all prophesy. I wish that you could all hear the voice of God. That's what Paul is in essence saying there. He's not saying, I wish that you all could have a microphone and get up in front of people and say, thus says God, ho, oh, hey. No. Oh, y'all forgive me. I'm getting a... No, but that we could all, when we wake up in the morning, the simplicity of hearing and knowing him. Oh, come on, y'all. How do we move from just trying to survive from Sunday to Sunday? Okay, so the Word of God is explained as bread multiple times. Sustenance, food. We eat it, right? How good would we be doing if we only ate once a week? We'd be anemic, right? Some of y'all looking at me like, you're already looking anemic, brother. I try. I eat a lot, man. I try. I do my best. It's just daggone metabolism. If we only ate once a week, we'd be anemic. We wouldn't be able to survive. That's not sustainable. And I would like to present to you today that it's not sustainable to eat the Word of God once a week. Because the other thing is as much as I love doing this, this is processed food. I love doing this. I'm about it. It's processed food. We got to learn how to get in our own kitchen and make our own daggone food, man. Like, the Apostle John said to the church that he was speaking to, he said, you all have the Holy Spirit, and you actually have need that no one teach you. Now, then in Hebrews it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, but so don't think I'm saying don't go to church. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, you've got the same Holy Spirit that I have. You've got the same Bible that I have. You've got the same access that I have. And the only reason why we sit on varied ends of the spectrum as it pertains to hearing the voice of God is because we have allowed ourselves to believe that hearing the voice of God is an isolated instance instead of normative. The voice of God, hearing the voice of God, it is normative. It is not for a specific elite few of people that can print their card and say, evangelist so-and-so. Forgive me if I stomp on religion a little bit because it just makes me mad. It's held the people of God back for too long to have this celebrity Christianity where it's about that guy's Instagram where I can hear the voice of God whenever he has a post and whenever he says, listen to me, if you are not hearing the voice of God for yourself at some point in your relationship with Jesus, I have done my job so wrong. You must be released into hearing the voice of God. You must be released into hearing your Father, not your Father through a filter, your Father, yourself. It is possible. It is so. It will be so. It will be true of every single last one of us in the name of Jesus. None of this does away with church government, church structure, and all of those things because we need to hear the voice of God within the context of community. It's very important. I'm going to talk about that, not next week, but the week after that. Very, very important that we hear God within the context of community. So none of that does away with what we're doing here, but just to understand, this is what causes all of this to come alive. This is what God was speaking through in Deuteronomy 8 whenever he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not a select few men will receive every word and then give it to everybody else. No, it says every man, every person, all people, we all live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We cannot live as believers if we do not hear the voice of God. This is a growth moment for us of that deep understanding that God is calling us into that. Again, not so that every single person can be, you know, not every single person is called to be a prophet, but everybody is called to be prophetic. True or not true, Pastor Dave? Yeah. Not everybody's called to be a prophet, but everybody is called to be prophetic. Why? Because in order to be prophetic, you have to hear the voice of God. And God will not speak to you without sharing with you things about the future, about people, about everything. Whenever God speaks to you, it is just, it's like overwhelming and amazing and beautiful and awesome. And it breathes so much life into you. And I would dare to say that some of the reason why many believers have remained stuck at the altar, the reason why so many people have remained stuck at their salvation prayer, and that, do you understand, you getting saved started with your communication with God. There is no salvation without confessing with my mouth, believing with my heart that Jesus is Lord, saying those things out loud, and then God speaking back over you, son or daughter. You were birthed in communication, and you remain who God has called you to be through communication. Now, it's varied. Not everybody hears the exact same way. It's the most beautiful thing about this Bible right here is that when God speaks to Ezekiel, it's pretty unique to Ezekiel. When God speaks to Jeremiah, it's pretty unique to Jeremiah. When God speaks to David or Solomon or Elijah, whenever he speaks, you see a different cadence. You see a different, it's not always the exact same way of speaking, but it's the same thread of what's being spoken. So the way that God speaks to you may not be the exact same way that God speaks to me, even though there are foundational principles that lead us into hearing, right? Like, we're all called to pray and hear the voice of God in prayer. We are all called to the Word of God and to hear the voice of God through the Word. We are all called to practices like meditation. Again, we're going to talk more about that. Don't get freaked out by that word. Look here, you Westerners. Don't get freaked out by that word. Don't get freaked out by that word. It's biblical. We're not talking about Eastern, we're talking about biblical. We're going to dive into that. But we're all called to that, and we are all called to hear the voice of God through that. We have been given tools and principles and practices through the Word of God, but within that, God will communicate with you the way that you are. Does that make sense? Like, He'll speak to you according to your personality. I know some people that God speaks to them and they're just like, yes, amen, hallelujah, woo, right? And then I know some people that are just like, we can't get tied down to one way, right? It's like God's voice is always like thunder, except the time that it was the still small voice. Like, God is always the voice of many raging waters, except for that one time when it's sweet like honey, right? Can't pin down God. And we're going to talk about this over the next 3 weeks. And I just want everybody to just like take that deep breath, take the pressure off. It's not as hard as we've made it out to be. It's really not. It's really not. It truly is as simple as God spoke and God is still speaking. It's truly that simple. Amen. Amen. So let's just pray. I hope everybody's okay with this, just a little teaching today. It's a perfect example, right? There are times when we come in and there's that like exhortation, right? And then there's times when we come in and there's just that simple teaching, okay? This is what it's like. And even there was just something so beautiful about the way that we worshiped today that I know some people can get a little bit bothered whenever we don't do like the exact words on the screen and stuff like that, but how beautiful was it that it was like Pastor Thomas was just singing out of this place of relationship that he has with the Lord, and Brother Daniel, again, was just singing out of that place. Danane singing out of that place. David singing out of that place this morning. And then even whenever we began to play with the instrumentation and stuff, it's just that communication. And there were times where we were singing to God, and then there were times that we were using those pronouns of God singing to us. I love you, and He loves you. And it's just that whole back and forth communication. I think today was just an absolute beautiful example of the conversation that God is calling us into as a community. Amen. Come on. Now, the very, very, very first thing that you have to understand is that while God can communicate with someone that is not His child, sure does make it a lot easier to be His child. And so today, I know that there, whenever we have a crowd this big, that there's always someone who has not given their life over to Jesus, who has not made him Lord and Savior of their life, who have not confessed him as Lord. And listen to me, the Bible says in John 1:12, that as many as believed in him, they were given the right to be sons and daughters of God. So if you want to hear the voice of your heavenly Father, which is nothing like the voice of your earthly father, you know, you may have had a bad relationship with your father. That word father may trigger you actually a little bit, but he's a good father. Our heavenly Father is a good father. And if you become his child today, you will be released into a beautiful, communicative relationship with him. It's amazing. And it really just is as simple as saying a prayer. It's not that hard. It's just a prayer. And so if you are in this room this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed, just a sweet, intimate moment between you and God. If you're in this place this morning and you say, you know what, I don't know him. I'd like to get to know him. Or you might say, I've been away from the Lord and this sounds way better than what I used to hear in church. And all I want you to do is just slip up your hand right now. And we're going to say a prayer. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Slip that hand up in the air where I can see it. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Yep, I got them. Thank you. We're all just going to say this prayer together really quickly. And what's going to happen is, as I said, you're going to go from not being a son or daughter of God to being a son or daughter of God. And that gives you access to hearing God's voice. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. My children know my voice. So all we're going to do is, if you just lift both hands up to the Lord one more time, we're going to pray this together. We say, Father, thank you that you are a good father. And you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And I repent for my sins. And I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I thank you that my sins are forgiven. I am made new. And I am your child. Thank you for accepting me and believing me. And I thank you that from this day forward, I can hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Just real quick before we go, let's just all lift our hands. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just all lift our hands. Just focus in on the Lord. Father, I thank you that you are taking this church into a time of really hearing you. I thank you that you are moving us right now into a time of knowing you like we've never known you before. And God, I ask, just as Paul did, that the eyes of all of our understanding, that our ears would be open to you. God, I thank you from from the people that just gave their life to you to the people that have known you for years and years, that there would be an increase in hearing your voice. God, I ask for you to remove any lie or any chain of the enemy or religion that has held us back from hearing you. Anything that's kept us from experiencing you, from knowing your voice. God, we ask you to take those things away. We break their power over our lives. And we loose open ears, open eyes to hear you and to receive what you are saying and doing in the earth right now. We thank you for your voice. We thank you that you have spoken and you will never stop speaking. Come on, just a few more moments right here, just in his presence. Rest in knowing him right now. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank him for his voice. Thank you for your voice, God. Thank you for the way that you speak. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the living voice. You are the word. We praise you for it. Father, I ask you to bless your people today. God, as they go throughout their week, I thank you that all week long that they will hear you, they will know you, and they will feel closer to you than they've ever felt. We bless you in that, Jesus. Thank you for putting your angels charge about them as they go. Thank you that no weapon formed against them can prosper. No evil can befall them. No plague or calamity can come near them. And nothing by any means shall harm them. Thank you for just releasing your goodness over them all throughout this week. Bless them in their jobs. Bless them in their families. Bless them in everything that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you guys so much. Our altar ministers are going to be down here right as we release. And if you gave your life to Jesus today, I encourage you to just come down and talk with them and pray with them. It's going to be really, really good for you and for the rest of you. We will see you this Tuesday at 9 a.m. for Good Morning CL. We love you guys.